meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs from Merit Assembly of God, and we want to thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program today. And we're going to spend the next half hour talking about the Word of God. And so I'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to our services this Sunday morning. I'm going to be teaching Sunday school at 9:30. I'm preaching at 10:30. And we would love to have you come and be a part of that. You know, I know that there are a lot of people who listen that go to other churches, but there are also a lot of people that you don't have a church home. And we want you to know that Merit Assembly of God is available and would love to have you be a part of what God is doing. We continue to stand amazed at God's faithfulness year after year after year. And, you know, there's a song, "Every Day with You, Lord, is Sweeter Than the Day Before." The longer we serve Him, the sweeter that time goes. And so here recently I preached a message at our church, and the message was all about the beauty of holiness. The beauty of holiness. It's a phrase that is used four times throughout the Word of God, twice in the book of Psalms. There's two different Psalms where it is used, once in First Chronicles, and it's also mentioned in Second Chronicles, which that is what the worshipers were emphasizing, what they were praising God for before they went out to battle the three kings that had gathered in opposition to them. So it kind of ties in here a little bit with what we're talking about, is the limitations of opposition against God. And so Jehoshaphat was ordered to send the praise team out before the military people. And he said, I want you to praise God, for He is good and His mercy endures forever. We need to praise Him for the beauty of holiness. I want you to know sin is ugly, but holiness is beautiful. And it's not a list compiled by man that says you can't do this and you can't do this. That was kind of a legalistic approach to holiness. But the more we behold Jesus, the holier we are going to realize He is. And the Bible says that when we see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Seeing God in reality should bring transformation in our life. And so today we're going to go back to the book of Revelation chapter 19. I'm going to begin reading at verse number 11. We're going to go through verse number 16 to begin with. It says, "Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew, except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." So I was thinking about this before I came into the studio this morning. And I mean, it's not the first time I do this. You know, before I come in, I review the materials and say, God, is there anything here that I haven't got written down, that you haven't planted in my spirit, that I should I should focus on. And on this particular morning, which is kind of a sleepy morning, coffee hasn't been a part of my morning yet. And so if I sound a little tired, I'm okay. Just a little on the sleepy side. I was thinking, you know, this is about those who gather in opposition to God. That's the spiritual truth that we're looking at. And you know, God said, you need to look at where the emphasis is. There's an old saying that people tend to put the emphasis on the wrong syllable. And I don't want to do that here in this passage. You know, when we're talking about the battle of Armageddon, or, you know, here, this particular battle where the nations of the earth gather against God, I want you to see that verse number 11 is talking about the nature and the reality of God. Verse number 2 talks about God, or verse number 12. Verse number 13 talks about Jesus. Number 14 talks about the armies of heaven that will follow Jesus. Number 15 talks about the sharp sword that goes out of the mouth of Jesus. And verse number 16 describes his appearance. Verse number 17 talks about the preparations for the aftermath of the battle. And so there's an angel, a messenger of God, who begins to call together those creatures that are going to deal with the fallout of the devastation that is getting ready to come. And that continues into verse number 18. It's not until you get to verse number 19. So 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Eight verses emphasize God and the preparations he makes for the battle. How long do you think the battle lasts? Well, in verse number 19, the enemies of God gather together to make war against him. Verse number 20, they are captured and they are dealt with and cast into the lake of fire. And verse number 21 talks about what happens to the rest of humanity and how that battle concludes. So there's eight verses dealing with God and his preparations. There's only one verse that talks about the battle. Another verse talks about the beast, the false prophet, and what their sentence is, and one verse that talks about the sentence that is dealt to humanity who rose up in opposition to God. Let's remember to keep our focus on Jesus. I would much more prefer to focus on he who is righteous and true and faithful in all of his ways. So keep the emphasis there. In verse number 13, let's go back there. It says, he was clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. A lot of people don't understand the value of words. I've read some legal opinions, some news stories, and where they would base their decision on one particular word that might not have seemed like a big deal when it was placed in there, but somebody focused on that word and they exploited that word, and there was a decision that was made that enabled people to do things that the rest of the statute doesn't really want to be done, but because of the lack of precision of that word, there was an opening that someone exploited. The Bible talks about where there's a multitude of words, sin's not very far away. And so if this is the first time that you have listened to me, I like to put this out there. And that is that because I'm on the radio here, you don't see my face. You can't see my heart. You have to listen over and over and over again to understand the value of my heart. And you have to understand the quirkiness of my personality to understand that it's entirely possible that there's words that I could use where I mean to say one word and another word comes out. So not too long ago, one of the board members and I, we went out and we were eating dinner, and I knew what I was avoiding. I was avoiding the loaded baked potato. That's what I was avoiding. And so I was ordering a salad, and I used the terminology for the potato when ordering my salad. And it confused the waitress and said, "Wait a minute, are you wanting the salad or are you wanting the potato?" And I said, I want the salad. I want the salad. So I preached here recently on Wednesday night at church that we need to be presenting ourselves to God. If we want change in our life, it's not just about being transformed. That comes later, but transformed by the renewing of our mind. But change begins when we say, "You know what, God? I'm going to present this not as to my feelings, not to my cravings, but I'm going to present myself to you." And because of that presentation and the process through that, I'm going to change the way that I think. And so I was looking at this and I was like, I'm going to avoid the potato. And it really is a good potato. I'm not going to lie. It's good. But that potato would have sidetracked me or derailed me from the mission that I am at hand. So, you know, I got my words mixed up a little bit there. I've listened to some of the rebroadcasts of the programs, and you know, there one that sticks out was I was talking about the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, and I actually said the children of Egypt coming out of Israel. And it's like, oh, I just hate it when I do that. So, there are a lot of people who don't put value on words, but lawyers put value on words, and God puts value on words. He says what he means. He never gets his tongue tangled the way that I do. You know, there are people who speak the language of their expertise. And so I challenge our church. We need to make sure that we are not just speaking the language of Christian culture, but that the culture around us doesn't understand. We need to convey the message, but use terminology that people are going to understand. So when I was in a youth group, I asked the question, said, "How many of you have been saved? How many of you are saved?" And one of the young men, he raised his hands and he said, "Saved from what?" And it was like, okay, we need to clarify. We need to take the Christianese out of our language just a minute to help people understand. And I will tell you that young man that asked that question, God showed him tremendous favor. I haven't seen that young man in 30 years, but I remember what God did in his life, and I pray that he remembers what God did in his life. It really is a fascinating thing. Words are not lifeless, and they're not meaningless. So we can see, was going to tell you about an encounter I had recently. I was dealing with a person in their industry, and I do not speak the verbiage of their industry. And so when I was talking with the person, they would say the same words over and over and over again. And finally, because I'd asked questions, and what he did was just said the same words again. Well, if I didn't understand the concept you were trying to convey the first time, and I didn't understand it the second time when you used those same words, and the third time, and finally I said, could you break that down? Because this is what I said, I don't speak the language of your industry. I need you to help me to understand. Once I understand, then we can proceed, because we're going to be on the same plane there. I can understand what you're trying to tell me. So we are dealing with a world that is not lined up with the Word of God. Used to be families took their kids to church, and they were exposed to the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Then people quit doing that, and you could say, well, at least they would get some exposure to it at school. I grew up in an era when the Bible was part of the curriculum. Here's a little newsflash for you. Some of the earliest reading materials in schools in America was the Bible. We're not talking the easy to understand words. We're talking, 1621 King James version of the Bible. That's what they learned to read. And I can tell you, their vocabulary was much more equipped than what our modern vocabulary is. Although due to technological advances and things like that, there have been some new words that have been created that might make us feel better. But I'm telling you, they had a better grasp on the English language than what we do now. Now society says words don't matter. I want you to know, Jesus is the Word of God. In the Gospel of John, he's identified as the Word of God. The Son is the Word of God. He is the living expression of that Word. So we need to realize that the Word of God, that God speaks, it's not random. It's words that are there on purpose. The word in biblical culture was designed to achieve the intention of the one who spoke it. To achieve the intention of the one who spoke it. So I've told you, I think many times comedians are looking for a lazy laugh. And by that I mean they use crude language to get people to giggle, because they haven't worked hard enough to understand that you can say things in a manner that is going to be thoroughly entertaining. So my wife and I, we have conversations, and sometimes we just, our conversations, we use creative puns to get each other to laugh. And sometimes it's me saying something that gets me to laugh. Sometimes it's her saying something that gets her to laugh. But the Word of God isn't just about entertainment. The Word of God is about setting captives free, bringing forth God's purpose in a situation. When Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, Lazarus had no option. That decree had gone forth. Lazarus heard it and was compelled to respond. That word that went forth achieved that purpose. In Psalm 107, verse number 20, I'm turning back there. Psalm 107, verse number 20. It's a verse that oftentimes is memorized for the first part of what it says, but not necessarily for the entire verse. So let me read verse number 19. It says, "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses." That's the end of verse number 19. Verse number 20, "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." Verse number 21, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing." Now, I am thankful that God is our Savior. It says in verse number 19, he saved them out of their distresses. Verse number 20 says, he sent forth his word, and there is a purpose in that word, and that is healing. He sent his word and healed them. And so it wasn't just that one exclusive purpose, but the added purpose was delivered them from their destructions. Now, the goal, the intentional achievement of that purpose was that men would give thanks to God, that they would sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. So why did Jesus, the Word of God, why did he come into your life and into my life? I'm telling you, it is to accomplish the purpose of God. So because of that intentionality of the Word, you know, if you go to a hospital, not everybody in the hospital is going to be suffering from the same affliction. There's going to be some people who are there to give babies. There are going to be people there who are having heart problems. There are going to be people there who are there because of lung issues. There are all sorts of different reasons why people end up in the hospital. So the treatment that is designed to bring about restoration to that individual. So what I have seen is that a lot of times pastors will say, well, this is the word that pastor preached at his church, and his church grew, so I'm going to preach that word at my church so that my congregation will grow. And I'll tell you this. I hope that the key to your house does not work on the lock to the key of my house. God has a tremendous understanding of the need of each and every congregation. And so because of that, I don't just want to preach a word. I want to preach God's word, but I want to preach God's specific word for our congregation. And because of that, I believe that there are going to be people who experience the healing and the wholeness of God. I believe that there are going to be people who are going to be delivered. But I pray no matter what the individual need was, that God sending the resolution to that need is going to result in people giving thanks to God, people praising God, and people declaring the goodness of God throughout Brevard County. We are here to talk about the Word of God. I believe the Word of God brings refreshing into a people, into a person's life. The one of the verses that we use for this program is, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And so whenever God speaks a word into my life, I want to see what impact it's going to make on my life. And then I ask myself this question: God, is this a word that is specifically for me, or is this a word that is that you want me to share with someone else? Is this a word that you want me to share to the congregation, but not necessarily on the radio program? God, is this a word you want me to share on the radio program, but not necessarily to the congregation? Because the audiences are different. So occasionally there will be some overlap, but if you think that just because you hear it spoken here on the radio, that there's no need to come to church because you've already heard that, you would miss the mark. You would miss the understanding, because there's preparation for both of those things, because there's a different audience. And Jesus, the Word of God, he knows what you're going through. And this radio program is about sending forth the Word of God so that you are healed and delivered and thankful and giving praise to God, and go out as a wonderful part of the body of Christ, proclaiming the good news of what Jesus has done for you, because he is not a discriminator against people. What he has done for others, he can do for you. And what he's done for you, he can do for others. So my action plan, if I could give you one for today, is get into the Word of God. Not just into it from the legal aspects of it, but get into it because it is the living Word of God. Let me take you over to the book of Hebrews just a moment. I think I can get this verse in before the clock runs out. In verse number 11, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God has a living and powerful Word for you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
I will.